In the opening 10 verses in Galatians 6, the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians concerning the important subject of how God's people are to treat others. How God's people are to treat others. The Lord is not only concerned with how men behave towards him, he is also very much concerned with how men treat each other. And so God gives to his people clear instructions in regard to their behavior towards their fellow men and women. The Lord teaches us in his word how we are to treat others, not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also others in this world. Now, last time we considered the first verse here in Galatians 6, and we thought upon the subject, strengthening the straying saint. Strengthening the straying saint. As believers, we are to care for our brethren that have been overtaken in a fault and have fallen into a sin. When a brother or sister gets wounded or injured on the battlefield of the Christian life, we are not to abandon them. We are not to leave them behind and forget about them. But we are to seek after their recovery. And we are to do all that we can to support them and to help them and to encourage them. As God's people, we are to be sympathetic towards those that have stumbled, ever conscious that the stumbling block of sin is an ever-present danger in all of our lives. And we too, at any time, could be overcome in a fault. And so the Lord in his word gives to his people clear instructions in regard to how we are to treat our brethren that have fallen into some sin. However, this evening, as we return to this passage in Galatians 6, I want us to consider the words of verse 2 here. See what it says in verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now what is stated here is primarily addressed to God's people, and how they are to lovingly and caringly support their brethren. As Christians, we are to bear one another's burdens, supporting each other through all the different struggles and trials of life. Romans 15 in the verse 1 puts it like this, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. As we view our brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to always be of the mindset, how can we help them? How can we support them? How can I encourage my brothers and sisters in the Christian life? This is the way Christ would have us think in regard to our brethren. Always being ready to bear one another's burdens. These words in Galatians 6 in the verse 2 are then primarily addressed to believers and how they are to support one another. But this evening as we come to this verse, I want us to focus our thoughts not on how the Christian or how Christians are to show love and care one to another, but rather I want us to consider how we are to show love and care to those all around us perishing in their sin outside of Christ. I believe there is wonderful gospel truth implied in this verse. Truth that brings us to consider the greatest matter of all, the matter of salvation, and how we as sinners can be made right with God. As we view our fellow men and women who are living in their sin and traveling along the broad road which leads to destruction, this is the thing that ought to concern us most of all. How can we help such people? How can we reach such people and help them in their great need? That they might be delivered from the path of destruction and everlasting ruin that they're traveling along. How can we be of benefit to such people? How can we see them delivered? How can we see them brought to Christ? Surely this is our concern. This is the burden of our hearts as we think of those all around us that are perishing. The subject that I want us then to think upon as we come to this portion of Scripture is supporting the suffering sinner. Supporting the suffering sinner. And our world is filled with suffering sinners. Sinners that are suffering and suffering because of their sin, heading to destruction. How can we help them? How can we deliver them? How can we reach them for Christ? There are three things that I want us to consider here as we think about this subject tonight. Supporting the suffering sinner. In the first place, notice with me here, we have a great problem. We have a great problem. Our text declares, bear ye one another's burdens. The word burdens here brings before us the idea of being weighed down with a heavy load. We all know what it is to lift something that is physically heavy. It's a challenge. It is a difficult. It is a challenge. It is a difficulty. It is something that is wearisome and tiresome. When we try to lift something that is physically heavy, some physical burden, our arms get heavy and we become weary and tired. And so we know what it is like to lift some physical burden. But in life there are many things which we might describe as burdens. Many things that we can find challenging and difficult. There is the burden of study, the burden of learning. Ecclesiastes 12 in the verse 12 declares, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Developing our minds and learning is hard work. And it's a tiring process filled with many challenges. And many of us can identify with this when we think back to our school days. Learning. Oh, it was such a burdensome thing, such a challenge. We didn't want to be there in the classroom. We didn't want to be learning and giving our mind to study. It was a difficult thing. And so in life, there's the burden of study. But then there is also the burden of service. Ecclesiastes speaks of how the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The sleep of such one is sweet because the work he engages in is wearisome and exhausting. And that's why his sleep is sweet. Because as he works, as he labors, as he toils, he becomes tired in his body. Even the Lord Jesus, as he walked this earth, became weary and tired with the burden of work that he was engaged in. John 4 verse 6 tells us, Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Here we have Christ taking time to rest because of the burden of service that he was involved in. Because of the work that he was doing. He was weary. And so he took rest from his service to refresh himself. And of course, this is important in life. So there is the burden of study. There's the burden of service. Furthermore, in life, there's the burden of sickness. Sickness and weakness of body can be a heavy burden to carry in life. When Job was physically afflicted as the devil smote him with sore boils from the sole of his foot onto his crown, Job declared this in Job 7 verse 20. I am a burden to myself. I am a burden to myself. Job felt so physically and emotionally weak that his whole life was a great burden. And all that he did was burdensome. And this is how he felt in himself because of his sickness, because of his physical weakness. Everything that he did was a burden. He was a burden to himself. This is how sickness can make us feel. Those that battle with sickness on a daily basis can again identify with this. This is the burden of sickness. And of course we can also say there is the weary burden of sadness in life. The burden of sadness. After Stephen was stoned to death, we are told in Acts 8 verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. The hearts of these men were filled with great heaviness and sorrow as their godly friend and helper had been taken from them. Those that have lost a loved one know only too well the terrible burden that sadness and sorrow can be to the heart. Times can almost feel an unbearable weight crushing the soul. The burden of sadness. Therefore, in this fallen and corrupt world, there are many different burdens that weigh down upon us. Many different burdens. However, we cannot think of the burdens that men are faced with in life without considering the greatest burden that all men and all women have. And that is the terrible burden of their sin. That is the terrible burden of their sin. Sin is the most difficult, the most problematic, the heaviest burden that man is faced with in this world. The Bible very clearly speaks of sin being a great burden. Listen to the words of David in Psalm 38 and the verse 4. He says this, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. See here how David speaks of his sin and iniquities as a heavy burden that are too heavy for me. And really what he's saying is, oh, it is so weighty, it is so great, it is so vast. I can't cope with it. It's too great for me. It's enormous. This is the worst and weightiest burden that is to be found in this world. The terrible burden of sin that is found in the hearts and lives of men and women. This is the great weight, the horrific weight that is burdening souls. Of course, if we think of this greatest of all burdens, the burden of sin that weighs heavy upon man, it is important that we understand why the burden of sin is so terrible. Why is it that sin is the great burden in our world? Men need to know this because it is only as we understand something of the burden of our own sin that we will want to be freed and liberated from this terrible weight. And there are many in our world tonight who do not understand that they are burdened by sin. They don't understand that there is a great weight, as it were, upon their shoulders and hanging over them. And so they have no interest in getting rid of this burden or being freed from it. And so it is important we understand why sin is the great burden that weighs down upon the hearts and lives of men and women. There are many reasons we could give from Scripture as to why the burden of sin is the worst burden of all. But let me just mention a number of things as to why sin is the greatest of all burdens. God's Word teaches us sin is the great burden because it is a distressing burden. It is a distressing burden. All of the sorrows and misery found in this world is all because of the burden of sin in the lives of men and women. All of the misery of our world is because of the burden of sin. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, as they ate the forbidden fruit, distress, misery, and grief have ruled in this world. The reason for broken lives, the reason for broken homes, the reason why there is conflict and trouble in every stratum of society and part of this world is all because of sin. It is because men's hearts have been defiled by sin. And that's why our world is filled with misery and sorrow. That is why there is grief in our world, because of sin. Many times in Scripture, we are reminded that sin brings personal misery into our lives. Think of the prodigal son. The prodigal son wanted a good time. Of course, he lived in a perfect surrounding with his father in a happy home. And he had everything that he needed. But he wanted a good time. He thought he could go out and live it up. He thought he could go out and find greater happiness and joy engaging in the things of this world and indulging in sin. And so he went out and he engaged in riotous living. And he enjoyed the pleasures of sin, but it was only for a season. Only for a season. And very shortly, they were over. And he found himself in a most miserable state, eating with the pigs. In a most happy condition. What a terrible city he was found in. And what was it because of? It was because of his sin. The very burden of sin that was in his heart that moved him to turn his back upon his father's house and go out into the world. Proverbs 6:27 asks the question, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? And what a wonderful question that is. Can someone take fire into their bosom, into their lap, and not be burnt, not be injured? And of course, the answer is, of course they cannot. You put hot coals into your bosom, into your lap, you will be burnt, and severely burnt, you will be hurt. And Solomon is saying to his son, listen, if you take the fire of sin into your lap, if you embrace sin, if you hold it close and hold it dear, you will be injured, you will be hurt. You will be badly burnt. This is why sin is the greatest burden facing men. Because carrying this burden through life is the most distressing and troublesome thing. Indeed, it is the root cause of all the grief that is to be found in this world. And this is what we need to understand. We think of our world and all of the troubles that are surrounding us. It is all because of the burden of sin in the lives of men and women. But then we can also say, sin is the greatest burden that man is faced with, not only because it is a distressing burden, but also because it is a developing burden. In Psalm 51 in the verse 5, David declared, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The point that David was really making here is, he personally was born in a sinful state. As a baby entering this world, he did so, weighed down with the burden of sin. This is how he entered this world, in a sinful state. The burden of sin was upon him, even as he was born. Of course, what was true of David is true of each and every person. This is the way we've all been born. Ephesians 2 and 3 speaks of how we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so all men are born in a state of sin. Born in a state of iniquity. However, the point I want us to note is this. As man lives in this world, in his sinful state, his sin is that which grows and develops. As sinners, what do? We sin. We sin in thought, in word, and in deed. Therefore, the burden of our sin is something which is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and heavier each and every day. This is what is happening. This burden of sin is developing. It is accumulating more and more sin. The simple truth is, the longer a person lives in this world outside of Christ, the greater the burden of their sin will be. I want you to think about that for a minute this evening. The ever-expanding burden of your sin. And how it is growing, and how it is developing, and how one sin is added to another sin, and to another sin, and to another sin. And all your sins are developing. They're all getting added to your previous sins. And so this burden of sin, it is a developing one. Men forget about their sin. And this is very often what happens in life. Men sin and they just forget about it. They forget about the wicked things that they do. As if it didn't matter. As if it wasn't important. But let me say this. The Lord does not forget about our sin. Not one sin, not one iniquity is ignored by the Lord. Everyone is accounted for. Revelation 20 verse 12 tells us, "And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Notice here, the books will be opened and judgment will be made according as it is written in the books on the day of judgment. This is what's going to happen. And this is simply bringing before us the truth that the deeds of our lives are all recorded. And the list of our sin is growing longer and longer and longer. This is what is happening, you see. The burden of our sin with each day that we live outside of Christ is getting bigger. It's growing. People think they can turn over a leaf and start again. But there's the great burden of their sin that is already there. And it hasn't gone away. Because it's all recorded in heaven. And it's developing with each day that we live. And so sin is the greatest burden facing man because it is a developing burden. Because it is a distressing burden. Then of course we can say it is the greatest burden facing man because it is a damning burden. A damning burden. This is why the burden of our sin is so serious. It is such a heavy burden and such a heavy weight that it will drag men down into hell itself. And it will hold them in the flames and torments of hell for the countless ages of eternity. This is the outcome, the final outcome of the burden of sin. This is why it is so serious. This is why it ought to concern us. Because this is the very thing. This is the very thing that will drag us into the pit of hell itself. And it will hold us there. Alive in the flames of hell. For the countless ages of eternity. Oh, don't foolishly think that your sin is not that serious an issue. And people do not look upon their sin as a serious issue. And the devil wants us to think along these lines. He wants us to think that our sin, well, it's not a big issue. It's not a big problem. Other people's sin, what other people have done, well, that's a serious issue, but not my sin. My sin's not that big an issue. Remember, the sin that damned this world was the sin of eating the forbidden fruit. Damned this world. And I want you to understand tonight that your sin, even the smallest sin that you have ever committed, in your eyes, smallest sin that you consider, is so weighty in the sight of God, it will pull you down to hell itself. Sin is one thing that ought to concern men. It is the one thing that ought to concern men more than anything else. It ought to fill our hearts with the greatest fear. For it is this burden, this terrible burden, the burden of our sin, that will one day plunge many into utter darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We have then in our text a great problem. A great problem implied. The problem, the burden of sin. But then notice secondly here, not only have we got a great problem, but we have also here a great precept. A great precept. Paul says to God's people in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." The precept or the command that God's servant is setting forth here is that the believer is to help and support their fellow men and women with the burdens they face in life. This is our duty as Christ's people. We are not to be like the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan, passing by on the other side and just ignoring the burdens and problems that others face. But we are to do all that we can. We're to do all that we can to draw near to others and minister to them in their great need. As we have just noted, the greatest burden that men and women have is the burden of their sin. And we've considered that. Therefore, as Christ-believing people, we have a God-given duty to help those in our lives and those that we come into contact with the great burden of their sin. And we have a duty to address this issue. We have a duty to help others in our world that we meet with who are weighed down by the burden of their sin and are being dragged to hell by their sin. We have a duty to seek to reach them. The question then is, how can we help others that they might be delivered and set free from the burden of their sin? How can we bear one another's burdens when it comes to the most serious problem of all, the defiling and damning problem of sin? Well, if we are to bring help and comfort to others as they suffer, even unconsciously suffer, and of course many do. Many do not understand they're burdened down by sin. Many do not understand and comprehend that they're being dragged to hell by their sin. And so how can we help such people? Well, if we are to help such people, then two things are vital. Two things are vital. First of all, to help the unconverted, that they might be delivered from the burden of their sin, we must proclaim the truth. We must proclaim the truth. That is, we must proclaim the truth of the gospel. We must tell forth the good news of salvation. This is imperative. Men need to hear the truth. They need to hear how they can be saved. They need to hear the good news that there's a way of escape, way of deliverance. Romans 10 verses 13 and 14 puts it like this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a wonderful promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Romans 10 goes on to say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And see Paul's line of thinking here. See his logic. This is God's promise to sinners. Sinners burdened by sin. If you call upon me, you'll be saved. But then he turns to God's people and he says this. How can they call upon him they haven't heard of? And how can they know about him except someone preach him to them? How can they hear without a preacher? And you see, he's challenging God's people. He's challenging them. Listen, you need to proclaim the truth. You need to preach Christ to your loved ones who are perishing under the burden of sin, so that they can call upon the Lord and be saved. The greatest kindness that we could ever show to our fellow men and women is to proclaim to them the truth of salvation. This is the greatest kindness we could show them. Speaking to them about their need. They're sinners. And of course, people do not want to hear about their need, but this is what man needs to hear. He needs to know the truth. He's a sinner, a perishing sinner without Christ. And of course, not only speaking to our loved ones about their need as sinners, but also the Savior himself who has met that need in full. Speaking to them of the one who is able to deliver and bring life in what Christ has done. This is what we need to do. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 gives the warning. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Notice here it speaks of our gospel. It's not ours in the sense that we have created it, or it belongs to us as a church or denomination, but it's ours in the sense that God has given it to us. He's put the gospel into our hands. What for? So that we might proclaim it in a world that is perishing hopelessly in sin. That's why the Lord has given to us his gospel, to proclaim it to sinners. Oh, how important it is that we do our duty. Do our duty in regard to the burden of sin that those around us are perishing under. And we speak to them of how they can be delivered and how they can be saved. Really, how can we be silent on this matter? How can we be silent when there's perishing souls trampling the broad road which leads to destruction? We need to speak forth the truth. This is what we need to do if we are to obey this precept, this command. Bear ye one another's burdens. We need to speak to them about their burden and their need of Christ. How vital this is. And so to help the unconverted, they might be delivered from the burden of their sin, we must proclaim the truth. But then I want us to think about something else. To help the unconverted, they might be delivered, we must practice the truth. We must practice it. The Lord Jesus emphasized the great importance of this as he declared in Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here we have one of the most effective ways of showing to our friends and neighbors how they can be delivered from the burden of their sin. By living a godly and Christ-like life before them. A holy life is an undeniable testimony to the truth of the gospel. It is simply something that cannot be denied. A holy and godly life. Something that cannot be denied. Do you know what the Lord called it? He called it the light of the world. Now he spoke of himself as the light of the world. But he also spoke about his people being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And that's what a godly testimony is. That's what a Christ-like testimony is. It is light to the darkness of this world. And light to those that are held in darkness. By contrast, someone who professes to be a Christian, to be saved, and then lives in a carnal and in a fleshly manner, well, their life will be a hindrance. It will be a great hindrance to others in coming to seek salvation in Christ. And this is what it will be. How often has it been said of an unsaved person? If such and such a person is a Christian, if such and such a person is saved, well, I'm every bit as good as they are. I'm every bit as good as they are. If that's what it is, if that's what you're selling, I don't need it, for I'm as good as they are. Now, that's no excuse for someone to offer. But sadly, this has often been used by the unsaved. And Christians do not practice the truth in their lives as they ought. When they behave in a sinful way, instead of being a helping witness to their fellow men, directing them to the truth of how they can come to know deliverance from the burden of their sin, they make the unsaved, the unconverted, comfortable and even confident in their sin. And do you know what they do? They send them on down the path of destruction to eternal ruin. That's the most dreadful thing. Christian, let me challenge you here tonight. If you profess to be Christ, to be saved, and yet you live not like a Christian before the unsaved, that is not bearing the burdens of those in need. That is an act of great cruelty. That is an act of great cruelty. Because instead of helping them and showing them their need of Christ, you're making them comfortable in their sin. And you're making them confident that everything is all right with them. While all along they're trampling the road to destruction. There are multitudes all around us weighed down by the burden of sin. We as Christ people are to help these perishing souls. Then it's vital that we not only proclaim the truth from our lips, but that we also practice the truth in our lives. And this is commanded here. This is implied here, I do believe, as we read these words, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. We have a duty to the perishing around us to seek to reach them and deliver them from the burden of their sin in which they are suffering under. Our text then not only reminds us of a great problem, it also sets before us a great precept. But then the final thing I want us to note in this verse is a great provision. A great provision. See now what it says in the final part of our text. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Notice the words, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? What is this speaking of? Well, we have this law in John 13, verse 34. If you turn with me to John 13, John's Gospel, chapter 13, and the verse 34, just for a moment, we have here this law that Paul refers to in Galatians 6 and verse 2. John 13 and the verse 34 tells us, this is Christ speaking, and he says to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is the law of Christ. We are to love others just as Christ has manifested his love toward us. We are to love others just as Christ has manifested his love toward us. This is the law of Christ. This, of course, brings us to another question. How has Christ manifested his love toward us? How has he manifested his great love towards all men? And we need to understand this because we are to follow the pattern of our Savior. How then has Christ manifested his love toward us? Very simply, by taking the burden of our sin, the sin of his believing people, taking it upon himself and bearing that burden to the cross and suffering the full consequences of that sin. That's what Christ has done. He has borne our burden, the burden of our sin. He has took our sin upon himself. He who was holy, harmless, undefiled and separate from sinners. He who was without the burden of sin took all the sins of his people, all of that great burden, the vastness of it, the infiniteness of it. He took it upon himself. And he carried that burden all the way to the cross. And paid for that burden in full. Suffered our hell in our place. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 declares the wonderful truth. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. This is the great provision he has made for us. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree. Hebrews 9:28 puts it like this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Notice the language. Speaking of Christ bearing our sin. Taking the burden upon himself. This is what he has done. And this is why there is hope for sinners tonight. This is why there's hope for sinners burdened down by their sin and facing eternal ruin. It is because of the great provision that Christ has made as the sin bearer. He took all of our sin upon himself. And he suffered the consequences of that on the tree. The message John the Baptist preached was, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away." Or we could literally read it, "beareth away the sin of the world." Oh, what a provision Christ in love has made for sinners. What a tremendous provision. Glorious provision. Oh, the burden of our sin is the greatest burden of all. It's dragging us down to hell itself. But Christ came into this world. And as our Savior, our sinless Savior, he took that burden upon himself. Carried the burden to the cross there. And with it upon him, God the Father opened the floodgates of his wrath. And Christ suffered the damnation for the burden of our sin. That it might be taken away. This is what he has done for our salvation. Now it is vitally important. It's vitally important that you claim this great provision that Christ has made for sinners for yourself. You claim it for yourself. Here you are tonight in this meeting, perhaps burdened down by your own sin. All your sin are counted as yours. All your sin, as it were, are on your back and upon your head. How do you get rid of them? How can you claim the great provision Christ has made for you? By simply coming to Christ as a sinner. Confessing your sin and iniquities before him. And by faith crying to Christ for salvation. And if you do this, let me say this. If you do this, then the burden of your sin that is dragging you to hell will be taken away. Indeed, it will be blotted out. You shall be delivered from that terrible burden that would drag you to hell. Oh, what a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. What a great provision he has made for men and women. Bearing our burden. The burden of our sin. Indeed, the question has to be asked. Why then would you continue to live under the burden of your sin? Why would you die under this burden? This great weight. It would drag you to hell itself. When if you will cry to Christ tonight, you shall be freed from this, delivered from eternal ruin. Oh, I trust that you will claim this great provision tonight for yourself. You will recognize that you have a great problem. But you will also see there is a great provision. That you will come to Christ and know what it is to be delivered from the burden of your sin. I trust this will be the case in each one of our lives. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our hearts this evening for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.